Hello, everyone. And yes, as Lynn has said, I am here to share from the 7 Steps to Awakening. As Lynn knows, I won't be here next Sunday. That's because I'll be in Las Vegas. In fact, I won't be at any of my scheduled teachings or meditations over the next week. But I've given each of the admins audios of mine to play during the times when I'm usually here. So during the Guiding Light on Wednesday and Sufi group Wednesday night, NTI discussion group Thursday, and the next Sunday here, you'll be listening to an audio if you come. So please still come. Tonight, in the 7 Steps to Awakening, we are going to begin with quote 712. And let me share a link with you. This is the link to my journal for 712. And before we begin, we will listen to a song. Let's see, where's my iTunes? Okay, the name of the song is This. And it's by Amitabhan, I think. I'm not sure how to say his name. Or maybe Amitabhan. Not sure. I just call him Ami to myself. This.
Sun is high, water is wet.
I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. I noticed Dolores with the prayer hands. I thought, that's exactly how I feel, Dolores. The little prayer hands right there. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful song. So tonight we are going to start, as I mentioned, with the 7 steps to awakening. Oh, what was the name of it? This. It was just named This. And, so tonight we're going to begin with quote 712 from the 7 steps to awakening. And we are in step 3, which is a very, very long step. I bet I've been teaching from step 3 for a couple of years at least. I'm not sure. It's a very long step. A lot of really good stuff in it. And the quotes that we're looking at in step 3 are coming from the Yoga Vasistha. Jay is asking what artist the song was from. Hold on one moment. I've already closed. I have to spell his name for you because otherwise... There you go. I don't know how you say that. Amit Ban. I have no idea, but that's the name of the artist. And I guess if someone's listening to the recording or listening on the broadcast, the name is Amitbhan. Again, the song was This, and the artist is Amitbhan. All right, so let me read quote 712 to you. It's quite a short one, but listen to it. It's really interesting. It uses the word mind twice. Listen for the word mind twice in this quote. The mind of the knower of the truth is no mind. The mind of the knower of the truth is no mind. That's kind of an interesting sentence, that if you look at it with the intellectual mind, you know, it could make some intellectual minds just go crazy. It's kind of like when I was a kid, I remember I would ask how to spell a word. Yeah, how do you spell this word? And the teacher would say, look it up. I think, how the heck can I look it up if I don't know how to spell it? You know, it was just a circular thing that made no sense. Well, well, that's what this is saying. The mind is no mind. That's an interesting little statement. The mind is no mind. The mind of the knower of the truth is no mind. I just came off of a 3-day silent retreat here at my house with a friend. And I was doing 3 primary things during the silent retreat. I was spending time in sitting meditation. I was spending time contemplating the 7 steps to awakening. And I was spending time reading an advanced copy of Michael Langford's newest book, Manonasa, which I will also spell for you. Manonasa, a spiritual autobiography. And don't run to Amazon yet to buy it because it's not there yet. I think he said it comes out in May. But I'm going to see him this week. And I will be able to interview him while I'm there. And so he sent me a copy of the book to read before I come. Manonasa means mind death or obliteration of mind. And if you come to 7 Steps regularly, this isn't new to you. I think in around September of this year, we talked about mind death, Manonasa. We talked about going through the eye of the needle. I played an audio for you from David Hawkins describing that experience. But when this quote says, the mind of the knower of the truth is no mind, that no mind at the end of that sentence, that is referring to Manonessa. Cindy's asking for previous books by Michael Langford. The Direct Means to Eternal Bliss. And The Seven Steps to Awakening, the one I'm teaching from now. There are some others. How to Know a Life. How to Live a Life that Knows Only Love. And there are some others, but that's a good list to get you started. But anyway, let me return to this Manonessa. So this quote says, the mind of the knower of the truth is no mind, right? No mind. That no mind at the end of this sentence is Manonessa. And in fact, one thing that I've decided to do, and I will probably do it in the very near future, is I'm going to add an audio to ReginaDawnAkers.com. There's a menu called Classics. And I have a first dozen set of classics, and then I have a second dozen set of classics. I'm going to take that audio from September, where we focused on Manonessa, and where I played the audio from David Hawkins describing his experience. And I'm going to put that on the classics. One reason I decided to do that is as I'm reading Michael Langford's new book, some of the quotes that I read that night while teaching, he has in his book. And so I thought, you know, this is really wonderful for people to be able to contemplate Manonessa, to be able to contemplate really that experience that at some point we will all have the opportunity to accept that experience of going through the eye of the needle, or that experience of walking through the final door, that experience of ego death, that experience of mind death, that experience of awakening, right? Those are all different words to describe the same thing. And so it's wonderful when we have the opportunity to really contemplate that experience, because what seems to happen, first of all, the opportunity to walk through the final doorway, as Dr. David Hawkins calls it, the opportunity to walk through the final doorway is a rare invitation. It doesn't come to everybody in every lifetime. It's a rare invitation. And then when the invitation comes to walk through the final doorway, there is a lot of fear, because it is the appearance of death. And in fact, Dr. David Hawkins says it's not like the deaths, the thousands of deaths you've experienced before. Just before I was speaking, Lori was speaking, and she was talking a little bit about a previous lifetime. Dr. David Hawkins says this death is not like the thousands of previous deaths you've experienced before. He says something about, because when those deaths occur, there's this relief to be free of the body. He says this death is the only real death you'll ever experience, and it's the final death that you ever have to experience, the death of the ego. And he talks about the fear. In fact, he uses the word terror. And I don't know how many people, I don't know if it's most people, half the people, or whatever, but I do know that when that rare invitation comes, to walk through the final doorway, or to be whisked through the final doorway, many people are afraid of the terror, are afraid of the imminent death, and they pull away from the experience. And we have this choice. We have this choice to allow this experience to complete itself, or to pull away from it. And so it seems like it's really helpful just to kind of contemplate the experience, be aware. It seems like that would give us a better chance, if you will, to be able to allow the experience to complete itself instead of pulling away. Jay's talking about he experienced maybe something like it once and he pulled away. Yeah. So I will put that audio from the Seven Steps to Awakening, that night that we really talked about this, I will put that on my website under the second dozen classics. And hopefully I'll do that very soon. I'm traveling this week. So, but I might be able to get it done one night in a motel somewhere. So I might be able to get it done this week. But again, the quote we're looking at says, "The mind of the knower of the truth is no mind." And that no mind is the Manonessa, the it's after the ego death. No mind would be after the ego death. And Michael Langford's autobiography is called Manonessa. And one of the things that he does in this autobiography is he shares as best as he can with words what no mind, what Manonessa is. So I thought I would just share a little bit with you out of his autobiography, if that's okay. There's more here than what I'm sharing, but let me share a couple pages where I have a whole lot of highlights. Apparently, I found this very interesting. The sage who has awakened from both the sleeping dream, meaning our nighttime dreams, and the waking dream, meaning what seems like real life to us right now. These are the terms he's using. The sage who has awakened from both the sleeping dream and the waking dream has no memory of ever having been human. Yet to one still dreaming, it will appear that the sage is still carrying on normal physical life. To one still dreaming, the sage will appear to be talking, eating, answering questions, etc. The one still dreaming creates a waking dream that includes the appearance of the body of the awakened sage. When you go to sleep at night and have a sleeping dream, all that appears in your sleeping dream is just your consciousness. All the people you communicate with and all the places are really just your own consciousness. They are not real. They are your consciousness appearing as people, places, events, and things. Therefore, what they really are is one consciousness that has the ability to appear as everything in the dream. The example just given applies to the waking dream also. Everything you perceive in the waking dream, which is what humans mistakenly call real life, is one consciousness that has the ability to appear as everything, including almost everything that the words in the dictionary points to. That one consciousness appears as both things and actions. There is a description that is much closer to the truth of the final reality. The final reality never appears as the earth, humans, or almost anything that the words in the dictionary points to. The final reality always remains as it is, and there has never been a human, planet, or almost anything that the words in a dictionary point towards in the final reality. One can use the example of a movie theater. In some places, this may be called cinema. The light inside the light bulb in the projector represents the final reality, or in other words, the true self. The film represents thoughts, feelings, emotions, the body, the five senses, etc. On the screen, a world is seen. However, inside the light, which is inside the projector, there is no world, no movie, no people, etc. All of what is described here can be known in direct experience by bringing the ego to its final end. The difference between the deep, dreamless sleep state and the final reality is that in the deep, dreamless sleep state, there appears to be unconsciousness. In the final reality, there is awareness that never changes and is always there. When you wake up from the sleeping dream, where did the world and people you dreamed about go? They did not go anywhere. They were never really there, even while you were dreaming. And as I said, there's more here. In fact, quite a bit more, very interesting, well worth contemplating. But I thought that I would just share a little. So when this quote says, because of course Michael can describe this much better than I can. So when this quote says, the mind of the knower of the truth is no mind. He's not talking about any of us. Because as far as I know from, I know many of you, maybe I don't know all of you, but I know many of you. And as far as I know, we do see a world. Not only do we see a world, we sometimes get caught up in it. And so this means we are not awakened. We are the ones that are still dreaming. We are not currently the knower of truth. Sometimes in spirituality, in today's spirituality, people like to pretend, although they may not admit to themselves that they're pretending. People like to pretend that they are awake. But pretending that we're awake is actually just a way of extending the ego life. Because if you are pretending that you are awake, you are not fully focused on the practices that would awaken you. We are not the knowers of truth. And that begs the question, do we want to know truth? And if we do want to know truth, then of course, this is a wonderful place to be here in Awakening Together, because we are introduced to truth teachings. Sometimes in this room, we do need to use discernment. I would not ever say that everything that is taught in this room is a truth teaching. But if we are interested in awakening to truth, we also can exercise discernment and tune into that which is a truth teaching. Listen with our own inner intuition. Pay attention to ourselves. The other night in our NTI discussion group, we talked about, I've already packed my NTI book where I would grab it and read it, but I'm getting ready to leave. The only books that aren't packed are the two I brought with me because I knew I would want them tonight, Manonasa and the Seven Steps to Awakening. But when we were reading NTI the other night, there was an invitation in it, something like, it was Holy Spirit speaking, something like, I ask you to help because leaders are needed among men. It was a sentence very much like that. I ask for your help because leaders are needed among men. But then the paragraph went on to explain that the way we help is by awakening, by focusing on ourselves, as the Course would say, accepting the atonement for ourselves, preparing ourselves to walk through the final door, preparing ourselves for the destruction of mind so that we can be the knower of truth. I'm going to shift over to my journal and see what I wrote when I was contemplating this same sentence a few years ago. Again, the sentence that we're looking at right now is, the mind of the knower of the truth is no mind. Seven 12 says, whenever the personality mind says, I know, ask silently, who knows? It doesn't matter what the personality mind appears to know. What is known is not being questioned. The inquiry is directing attention to who you think you are. I'll read that again. Whenever the personality mind says, I know, ask silently, who knows? It doesn't matter what the personality mind appears to know. What is known is not being questioned. The inquiry is directing attention to who you think you are. We often say, because it's written in A Course in Miracles, I am not a body. We often say in the reverse, you know, when we're talking about who we think we are, we'll say, well, I think I am this body, right? I think I am this body. And I'm not saying that isn't true. But my own investigation has shown me that that's not direct. That is not a direct truth. The direct truth is, I think I am the mind. And because the mind says I am a body, I think I am the body also. But the thing that I am most directly attached to, the thing that I am most directly confused about, is the mind. It's quite interesting because this particular mind, my mind, has been purified of a lot of different types of thinking. And I talked about this a few weeks ago. You know when you're really purified of a type of thinking because that thinking disappears from the mind, right? You don't go around thinking about it anymore. It just disappears. And so there's lots of types of thinking that used to go on in my mind that really doesn't anymore because it's purified. But the really interesting thing is, I cannot say that I don't still think I'm the mind. I can't say that. I have a happier mind, a more accepting mind, a more trusting mind. But I can't say that I know I am not the mind. Because I've not walked through that final doorway. In fact, that's what that final doorway is. That's what Mananasa is. No mind. One of the classes that we take in MPP is the Bhagavad Gita. And one thing that's really interesting about the Bhagavad Gita is it talks about three different states of minds. The highest of which is sattvic. But it's very, very, very clear. I just love this about the Bhagavad Gita. It is very, very, very clear that the highest, the most pure state of mind, sattvic, is just as asleep as any other state of mind. Just as asleep. You know, the sattvic person, the one with the more purified mind, may be happier, more accepting, more generous, more trusting, right? But just as asleep. And I think sometimes we forget that. I'm just going to read a little bit from Michael's book again. Just the same page. Listen to this. Oh, wait, I'd like to... No, I'll read this page. This is very good. This is one paragraph that I've already read you. But listen to this. Oh, Jay said he's already spent 4 hours with Ellie Ruzdar today, so he's been reminded of this. Because, of course, she says the same things. The same things as Michael Langford. Yeah. All right, so here we go. This is, again, Michael Langford's written description of the final reality, which we would call awakening. Listen to how different it is from a purified mind in the world. The final reality never appears as the earth, humans, or almost anything that the words in the dictionary points to. The final reality always remains as it is, and, listen to this part, and there has never been a human planet or almost anything the words in the dictionary point towards. The other night I had a dream. I can't remember the dream now. I wish I could. That would be kind of fun, but I can't. What I remember is my first impression upon awakening from the dream. Almost always when I dream at night, I am still Regina. But in this dream, I was a man. I was a seafaring man. You know, I probably worked on a ship or worked on the docks. I don't really remember exactly, but, you know, I was a seafaring man, very related to the sea in my profession, in my life. And what I remember is waking up from the dream, and my first thought was, huh, I wasn't me. I wasn't me in that dream. I wasn't Regina, right? I was some man. I was somebody else. But I think that's a wonderful example of what Michael Langford is telling us here about no mind. You know, right now, I still see myself as Regina. Now, even that is weakening and dying. I don't see myself as much as Regina as I used to. For example, I can still see Regina's opinions. I saw a news story today in South Dallas. There's a Muslim mosque there, but it's not Arabs that go to this particular Muslim mosque. It's African Americans, right? People who are born and raised in America, and they're African American. So it's an African American mosque. And some white supremacists, yeah, it's a black mosque, yeah. Some white supremacists were coming there to protest, and but they had to announce it or they advertised it or something. And so the people that attend that mosque, as well as probably some neighbors who don't, were there. Now, both sides were armed. Both sides had guns. and the police were watching from nearby rooftops. Unfortunately, the whole thing kind of broke up without anything happening. But I could see Regina's opinions. I could see Regina's opinions as I was reading the article. And I could see which side Regina was on. I could see who Regina would have stood with. You know, like if Regina was to pick a side, I could see who she would have stood with, which side she was on. And I also knew that would be a mistake, that both sides were equally mistaken. You see, Regina would say, this is the righteous side, this is the unrighteous side. But both sides were equally mistaken, equally caught up in the illusion, equally caught up in hatred, equally caught up in the world. So what is it that sees Regina's opinions, recognizes what Regina thinks, and also sees beyond all of that? I call that the purified mind. Some people might make the mistake of calling that awakening. Sometimes I call it wisdom. It's wisdom. But it's the purified mind. How do I know it's the purified mind, the sattvic state of mind, rather than awakening? Because in awakening, there's no world. And see, I was still looking at an article, reading an article about a world. In awakening, there never has been a world. Michael says, in awakening, there's not even a memory of ever having been human. Just like in my dream the other night. When I awake, I only have the slightest second, only a second of a memory about being that man. I can't tell you, I know the dream was longer than that, but I can't tell you anything about that lifetime. I can't tell you even what era it happened in, whether it was present time or past time. I can't tell you anything else about the dream. I have no memory of being that man. When the sage awakens, he has no memory of being human. And I think it's wonderful that every now and then we take the time to notice. It's true. I still think I'm in a world. It's true. I still listen to the mind, maybe the purified mind, some of us, but I still listen to the mind. I still think, you know, think with the mind. And kind of stop this hogwash of pretending we're awake when we're not, so that we can get about the business of waking up. Maybe I'm kind of preparing the stage accidentally for Elie Ruzdar to come. It wasn't my intention, but I can see how I could be doing that right now. Yeah, perfect preparation for Elie Ruzdar. So the journal says, whenever the personality mind says, I know, ask silently, who knows? The reason for this is to see the attachment to mind. It's self-honesty. It's to be honest. If I say, I know what? I know something spiritual. I know what food is good for you, what food is not good for you. I know which side in that, at that black mosque, which side was the righteous side and which side was the unrighteous side? I know who should be the next president of the United States. I know. Who's saying that? Doesn't matter what I know. Who's saying that? I don't know if you guys can hear me. I'm being kicked out of Pal Talk. Sometimes Lynn says you can still hear me even as I'm kicked out, but I will try to get back in. Oh, yeah, I'm having these strange problems where I don't know if you can hear me or not. I'm back in the room, but I can't see anyone. I see no names. I'm going to leave again, see what happens. I just thought, you know, it's funny. I came back into Pal Talk. There were no names. There were no words, just a white room. I suppose that's like heaven, right? I saw no people. I suppose that's a good analogy. I'm still trying to return, though. Okay. All right, I'm back. Yeah, the funniest thing happened. I'll tell you what. Yeah, I did disappear into the light. Let me tell you what happened. It was so funny. Because right now I'm sitting here, I'm looking at about 20 people. I can see your names. I can see you typing on the board, right? I got booted out of Pal Talk. And when I came back in, I was back in the Awakening Together Sanctuary. But the room wasn't properly initialized. So when I came back into the sanctuary, the typing board was completely white, and the area on the right where your names are was completely gray. There was nothing. There were no people, no talking, nothing. And I just laughed because I thought, that's what I'm talking about here. That's the no mind. That's what I'm talking about. I thought it was so funny. But then I knew I needed to come back, so I closed Pal Talk again and came back in. But I did disappear into the light. Oh, Jay says you have to wait like 10 seconds before coming back in, so I guess I came back too quickly. But let's go back to this journal entry again. Whenever the personality mind says, I know, ask silently, who knows? The reason we want to do this, okay, is because, yeah, sure, we think we're a body. I don't disagree with that. But even more, we think we're the mind. That's who we think we are. Remember, when we go through that final doorway, that's the death of the mind, the destruction of the mind. If I am fully attached, to thinking I'm the mind, it's going to feel completely like my death, like I'm facing my death. And this is why people pull away. So one of the ways that we can prepare ourselves for true awakening is to spend as much time as possible noticing that we are not the mind. And when we are just believing our opinions, like if I had just sat there this morning reading that article and thinking, oh boy, you know, going into some little daydream, but boy, I wish I was there. I wish I was on this side. I wish I was standing there with them holding up my signs, right? If I allow the mind to go into that little daydream while I'm reading the news, I'm still so attached to the mind as what I am. I'm not helping myself prepare for awakening at all. And most of us, maybe all of us, walk around all day long just believing whatever our head says because we think it's us. And that's why, again, when I go back to this journal entry, it says, whenever the personality mind, notice it starts with whenever, the personality mind says, I know. Ask silently, who knows? It doesn't matter what the personality mind appears to know. What is known is not being questioned. That's not what's important here. It's not, am I right about this, right? What is known is not being questioned. The inquiry is directing attention to who you think you are. And Christ's vision is saying, are you talking about ideas, personalities, ego thoughts as the mind? Yes, I'm talking about concepts, ideas, opinions. I'm talking about that as the mind. That's what I'm talking about. You're welcome. So what I'm going to do now is just go on to 713. I think I've made the point about quote number 712. So let's go on to 713. 713, first of all, the quote from the Yoga Vasistha in the Seven Steps to Awakening. He who is polluted by the ego's sense, whether he is a learned scholar or one superior even to that, he indeed is a wicked man. I'm so glad I'm reading this now, right after my 3-day silent retreat. Because I had insight during the silent retreat. And as a result of having insight, I can easily agree with this quote. He who is polluted by the ego sense, whether he is a learned scholar or one superior even to that, he indeed is a wicked man. This week, during some of my meditations, one of the things that happened, which was funny and insightful, and it just happened on its own, I didn't make it happen, is that the ego turned into a little character, kind of like if you've seen the movie The Revolver. And if you're familiar with the elevator scene, you know how Jake Green's character was outside of him. You know, his ego was outside of him, and he was able to see the ego as like this little character, right? He was like banging his head against the walls and yelling and screaming and all of that. My ego did that this week during the silent retreat, during two or three of my meditations. And I was able to sit and watch the ego just like Jake Green did in the elevator. And I was completely detached from it, just like Jake Green was. But I was able to really pay attention to it. And that thing is evil. It is evil. Even in a nice, nice, nice person like me. Even in a person whose mind, I would suspect, is actually much more purified than the average person, even on the spiritual path. And it's interesting because after sitting and watching this, and this happened because of a prayer, I was contemplating the seven steps to awakening, and one of the quotes led me to a prayer, and that prayer was answered in these meditations. But what's also interesting is I told you I was reading Michael Langford's new book, Manonasa. Fortunately, again, after I started experiencing this directly for myself, I started reading in Manonasa that all humans, all human egos, I don't remember which way he worded it, are evil. And I'm not sure how I would have responded to that if I had read that before having my own direct experience of watching the ego in the way that it was presented this week. But the answer is yes, that's true. Even in me, and I assure you, I'm a nice person. I'm a really nice person. I'm a trusting person. I'm a loving person, you know, compared to the others. My mind is more purified than most. That's a sincere, honest statement. And the ego is evil. So when we look out in the world, and we see these things like what might still happen at that black mosque. You know, even though nothing happened today, who's to say the white supremacists won't come back in the dark of night and something won't happen, right? Or what happens with ISIS and you know, what happens with people who beat their children, beat their wives, who kill them, kill their family and kill themselves, who abuse puppies and kitties. And I am certain that my current conscious human mind can't even sit here and begin to imagine the evils in the world. But those evils that my current conscious mind is not even capable of imagining are out there. And those appearances, that suffering, is created by even this nice girl's ego. In fact, there's a wonderful line that I've never forgotten, although I can't quote it perfectly. I've never forgotten it. Near the beginning of Jan Fraser's book, When Fear Falls Away, where she talks about how after her realization, how she was amazed at, I don't think she uses the word evil, but it's that same idea. She might call it mischief, something more, much more gentle, but it's that same idea. How she was amazed at the mischief the ego creates, even the ego in a nice person like her. And that's what this quote is saying. Okay, I don't know which one of us is the nicest. I don't know which one of us here is the most loving. I don't know which one of us here has the most purified mind. But this quote's including that one, you or me, whoever it is. The best among us is included, because we've not yet gone through the final doorway. The ego is not dead, and so it's still up to its evil mischief. It's still underneath the thoughts, behind the scenes, in the subconscious, doing its wickedness. And again, I know this because this week I was blessed with the experience of watching it. I know it. The quote says, he who is polluted by the ego sense. The ego sense means I still think I'm the mind. Even if I think I have a nice mind, right? He who is polluted by the ego sense, whether he is a learned scholar or one superior even to that, he indeed is a wicked man. Lori is saying she heard the ego say, thank God, right after her best friend died. And if she wasn't a Course in Miracles student, she would have thought it was the devil. Yeah. It's just that evil ego that we all have. Let me just look at the journal, see what I wrote when I contemplated this 3 years ago. Ego is always mistaken. It matters not who speaks ego or what topic it speaks on. Ego is not correct ever. First of all, I still think that's true, what I wrote, but I think that what I wrote 3 years ago was not the heart of this quote, because I had not yet had the experience that I just had in the last few days. I am imagining, I don't remember this day, February 14th. Oh, it was Love Day. Valentine's Day. February 14th, 2013. I don't remember that day, but I am guessing that I did not think I had an evil ego. Not anymore. I mean, I know it used to be. I remember the things it used to say. You know, I mean, I know the types of thoughts my mind used to be filled with. I know what I thought about people. I know all the judging that happened. I know what I thought about me. All of that stuff literally is not there anymore. Isn't that funny? It almost sounds like, how can this be true, that all of that can be gone and yet there's still evil there? Because the ego is still there, and the ego is evil. And the ego is creating these evil appearances, even in the nicest of us. So So what's the answer? More purification, become nicer, become more loving, more trusting, more accepting, a better person, more sattvic. That's never going to be enough. The only answer is Manonessa, no mind, as the previous quote said. And I think that we are very, very blessed here in Awakening Together, because in about 3 minutes, Ellie Ruzdar is going to come here. And, you know, I haven't talked to her. I have no idea what she's going to say, but I know Ellie Ruzdar. She's going to talk about this in some way. And then on top of that, on Wednesday of this week, I am spending the entire day with Michael Langford, and he's going to let me interview him and record those interviews. We've talked about maybe even 6 hours of interviews, and I'm going to be able to bring those back. So if there is something in us that can accept what's being said tonight, that can accept that sometimes we bullshit ourselves when we say we're awake, we're not, and no matter how nice I am, how sweet I am, how loving I am, how generous I am, how trusting I am, that ego is evil. And the only way to put a stop to its evilness is ego death. If we can accept that and say, okay, I get it. I get it. I am. I'm willing now to maybe commit even more. Then we've got Ellie Ruzdar coming tonight. And we've got several hours of interviews coming with Michael Langford on Wednesday. These are two people. Do you guys get it? These are two people who don't talk to people. Not much. They don't go out on the circuit. They don't do retreats. I think I'm the third person, if I remember correctly, to meet Michael Langford. Third person. And they're coming to us right now. So let's listen. Really listen. Okay, I think I'm done. So I will release the mic. And I'll be here with you all listening to Ellie Ruzdar. Bye-bye.